Welcome to the Reiki Show, hosted by Bronwyn and Franz Diener of the International House of Reiki. Bronwyn and Franz teach Reiki around the globe and are the authors of the Reiki Sourcebook, the Japanese Art of Reiki, the Reiki Techniques card deck, and the soon-to-be-released A to Z of Reiki. The music you are listening to, Reiki Khan, is available at the International House of Reiki website, www.reiki.net.au. Welcome to the Reiki Show. Hi, it's Bronwyn. And today Franz and I have yet another hard-working Reiki woman. Her name is Mari Stevenson. And Mari has been supporting the Reiki community in the UK with self-regulation through her work with the UK Regulatory Workgroup. Welcome, Mari. Mari Stevenson is the chair of the UK Reiki Regulatory Workgroup. Mari, our first question for you would be, how did this group start? What initiated the process?
We need to go back to 2000 when the House of Lords put together a report on complementary therapies. And it classified the different therapies into, I think, three groups. And the first group was really those that may cause, could have the potential to cause harm. And acupuncture and herbal medicine were two they've been working through statutory regulation. The others they felt in group two could look at voluntary self-regulation. And because the different therapies were quite disparate in different organizations, they said it would be very good if the different therapies came together under their individual therapies, that is, and began to kind of work together. Some of the groups had already been attending some of the meetings with Prince Wales's Foundation for Integrated Health, now called the Prince's Foundation for Integrated Health. And he started this initiative about holistic medicine, if you like, the working together of complementary and conventional medicine. And that's really what the Prince of Wales Foundation is based on. And they approached me, and I was a member of another one of the organizations, and suggested that we contacted them and see if we could meet and begin to work together. So we had an initial meeting, and at that point I think I was called liaison officer, as it were. We worked together and decided, yes, we did wish to look at voluntary self-regulation, and that we worked on the idea of any organisation could join, providing it had a minimum of 100 members, because you really couldn't have anything lower than that, otherwise you'd have to take over Wembley Stadium, which isn't existing at the moment, but you know, you'd have to take over that kind of size of building to do that. And the suggestion then was also that other groups, if they were smaller, could affiliate with one of the larger member organizations of the RWG, or they could keep contact with us because we set up a website so that people, if they had questions, could contact us and be kept aware of what was happening. And so we then began to work, and we started in 2003 is when we came together. And we've been working sort of 3 years that way.
What was the aim of the group?
Good standards, really. But the idea of voluntary self-regulation is about protection of the public, and that's been our main emphasis, so that we're not looking at regulating styles of Reiki, we're not looking at regulating teachers, we're looking at what standards can we put in place so that the individual can go along and be sure of having a safe, ethical, competent practitioner, and that's really been our main aim. And to that end, we've been looking at different standards.
And would these standards be only for treatments as well for courses?
Not either. We've recently decided that the best way forward would be to, if you like, accredit the individual practitioner. So that we won't be accrediting courses, it'll be the individual. And one of the things we've been looking at in our education and accreditation working document is the possibility that perhaps courses could be modular. So that then people would have a choice. We're going to have three ways. I mean, these are suggestions. These are not standards yet because we haven't actually had proper feedback from the majority of Reiki practitioners. So all these documents are in draft discussion form to see really what people think it should be. But the suggestion is that you could have three ways so that you'd have some teachers may not wish to teach people who wish to be accredited or registered, I should say, Reiki practitioners. So they may prefer to go to certain teachers for more the spiritual aspect of Reiki itself. Other teachers may wish to offer everything. Other course providers could offer everything. So people will have a choice. And if the things are set in a modular form, of course, then people can pick and choose where they wish to do the different modules, as long as what they have done relates to what you need for registration.
Could you give us an example of what these modules are? My guess is that they're nothing to do with Reiki as such. That's what you'd learn from your teacher?
It would be related probably to our national occupational standards. Mm-hmm. That's the area that we need to look at. And that we worked through those about 2 years ago. We sort of worked, different Reiki teachers came together, and the Skills for Health, who provide people who know how to construct properly formulated documents, if you like. And there was a consultation period. And although we have them at the moment, we're waiting final confirmation from our curriculum authority here in the UK, and then they will go up on the website. So part of our registration requirements would be that people need to read and understand the National Occupational Standards, which relate to competency in the workplace, basically. They would need to sign up to Code of Ethics and Practice and to agree to continual professional development. Those are the three main things that the individual will need to agree to become registered.
How are you conducting your feedback with the Reiki community?
Well, we've started so far. We've got a very good PR person who has sent out emails to, I think it's about 170 primary care trusts in the UK and a couple of hundred individual practitioners so far. We also have contacted a person we know who's very interested in Reiki, who's a Member of Parliament. We intend to send off to individual GPs, NHS trusts, and any individual Reiki practitioner and teacher who wishes to become involved in it. Because with us, it's not just the feedback from the Reiki practitioner and teachers, but that is a very important aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, we don't have a clear idea of how many practitioners there are out there who don't belong to one of the member organizations. So that's the first part. But because we're talking about protection of the public and our way forward in a way in relation to complementary healthcare is that the layperson, and lay in our terminology means a non-complementary practitioner, so the public, are having much more of an input. So the idea is to bring in more independent lay people to the different working groups. And we had one person who is no longer with us at the moment, but we're hoping to get some more in. So you get their kind of perspective as well. So it's kind of working in partnership.
You have a very strong idea of what you're trying to achieve with this, I think, and that is the protection of the public, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
How have you managed to maintain that? Because, you know, this has been going on, as you say, it started actually way back in 2000, didn't it? So
mm-hmm.
That's 6 years. It's a long time. It's a long process. How have you managed to do that?
Well, I think really being open to communicate with one another is very important. I mean, you can imagine that there we have people representing many different styles of Reiki, all very concerned that they don't lose their identity. And I think the main advantage, one of the advantages for us was it took us, we started in 2003 and we did spend about a year and a half, although we were doing work as well, getting to know each other and to actually see that we're all actually focusing on the same end result. And that it was possible, especially when we worked through National Occupational Standards, that the possibility is to really keep what's important with Reiki and one's individual style, but to still kind of find a common ground, and that's the most important thing for us. And that's taken time, and I think the other working groups have also taken a lot of time, so it's not just Reiki, it's the others as well, have taken this time to get to know each other. And there have been one or two hiccups along the way, as things go, not with us so far, but with some of the other groups, and that's really been quite important to us. So though at the beginning, probably the most significant thing changing now is that we have some funding from the Prince of Wales Foundation that was given funding from the King's Fund to provide rooms so that we could meet. So we had that kind of support as well at the beginning. And then that kind of stopped, and we had to find the determination to maintain the momentum, if you like. So each of the individual groups, work organizations, provide funding for the meeting rooms and also contribute something so we have a build-up of an account. And most of that will be going towards our roadshows that we have organised in the autumn to take this all over the UK to, after the publication of the proposals, to get kind of on-the-ground feedback from people, which we think is very important, because one of the things we have to be seen to do is to represent the majority of Reiki practitioners. You know, you can't have it with just a minority laying down the law on anything. It has to be seen. And certainly the Prince's Foundation are very strong on that. Our other change that's going to be happening by about October is the recruitment of an independent lay chair. And up to this point, we felt very strongly that we didn't need one. But I think that it's right, the next step should be to have an independent lay chair. So I will be stepping down when that person is found. And then this person will take it forward so they can have much more of a communication with the individual working groups, because then we need to come together. And the idea seems to be likely that a federal regulatory body will be the best way to go forward. In that respect, then we have to kind of meet up and see what is the best kind of way forward for that.
You talked about taking about a year and a half for the different groups to get used to one another, and mm-hmm. you also talked about your finding that you had some common ground between you.
Yes, yes.
What are some of the elements of that common ground?
That's really quite difficult. Because our main aim is not to tell people how to practice their style of Reiki, it's more how to practice in a professional, competent, ethical manner with the public. That people have been able to, I hope, feel reassured by that. I can't think of any instance at the moment. With NOS, we had someone who was very competent, who was used to devising these kind of documents, if you like. And she was very interesting because she was a layperson, had no idea about complementary therapies at all. So it was quite interesting kind of bouncing ideas off her. And one of the simple ways, if you like, that the idea, we had a great difficulty, some of them relating to whether something should be a Reiki treatment or a Reiki session or talking about clients or patients. So they were able to kind of come to some kind of terminology that was acceptable for each. And you'd need to read through our National Occupational Standards to understand that. And they are on the Skills for Health website for anybody to look at the moment, though we're not putting them on our website until they've been confirmed by the curriculum authority in the UK.
Can you tell a bit more about the roadshows, what you're doing?
We had someone who sort of divided up the UK, that's Scotland, England and Northern Ireland, so that we could look at areas that would be the best to go to. And then one of our members contacted some venues to see if we'd get some good, he got some very good prices for us. And what it'll be is there'll be a total of up to 70 people can attend each of the roadshows, 35 in the morning and 35 in the afternoon. And we're going to have representatives from each of the subgroups who will give a short presentation, and then it'll be really after, of course, the publication of the standards. So hopefully people will have got some ideas and questions, since they're unsure about things, can bring these up, and that we are preparing ourselves as we can to be able to answer the questions that people may raise. Then anything from that information and also from the feedback that we have will be going to an independent analyst to look at it, and in the light of any consensus of changes that we will alter things or add or subtract or whatever. We don't know what's going to happen yet, so it's going to be interesting. And the consultation period is going from this summer till the end of December, and then it'll really be on how quickly the analysts can analyse them. We hope by about June next year to have some kind of documents available.
You were talking about practitioners, how they keep their standards up. What is your idea about it?
The way it sort of works here is that anybody can apply to run a course. Right? They would apply to Skills for Health, and any courses anyone runs would need to be able to map to the Reiki National Occupational Standards. If they then can show that they meet that, then they would go to either us, or probably in the future it's going to be the regulatory body, to show that they'll be running these kind of courses that can meet these standards. And then it would be up to the individual practitioner to decide who they wish to actually train with. Some people do courses. We have things, we have organisations here that actually provide courses, but they will also need to meet these standards, because the problem has been that everything has been so disparate, you know? And it's not about the style of Reiki, it's about the professional aspects of it that we need to look at.
Yeah.
So that, so that is hopefully our intention, is so that someone will not interpret something, because the actual information within the National Occupational Standards is clear and quite straightforward, and they would need to show that they can actually map their course to that.
So when do you see this process finishing? Or does it finish? Does it keep going on?
We will have to see from the feedback. We really don't know what's going to happen from that. The next stage with the Prince's Foundation is to have a shadow council, if you like, a federal council, about the year 2007. So our aim would be to work with them. And meanwhile, obviously, while we are awaiting all the information coming in from the practitioners, teachers, and interested parties, that won't mean that we stop working. It will next, you know, there will be meetings arranged by the Prince's Foundation so the different working groups representatives can come and work together in relation to education, CPD, code of ethics, and the actual formal structure of a regulatory body. So that will be the area that will be the next step to work towards. And also looking at a constitution. We haven't got a constitution at the moment. We started working on one. But in the light of possible changes that were happening that we heard of last year, that the move is away, you see, from single regulatory bodies, which is quite good for us and for most of the others as well, because it will cost quite a lot to run an individual regulatory body, whereas if you can have a group working together, of course the costs are reduced, hopefully. And also there is a lot of common ground in things. Although we have some organisations over here, one organisation called the Health Professions Council, and they represent about, I think, 13 or so different professional people, groups. And what they have is for instance, their education would be 60% general, because everybody has very similar kind of parts, and then 40% would be profession-specific. So you could perhaps have common ground in the three different areas, but anything that's important to your specific profession would be included as well for you.
That's an excellent idea.
That's kind of the way forward, I think. And it's interesting because, you know, we've learned to work together, and the next step is really working together with the other other groups as well.
Oh, that's a wonderful development.
Thank you. We think so. Of course, we have to get confirmation that everybody wants that as well, because we're putting forward the suggestion that a federal body seems logical. We've put forward the reasons why in one of our other documents, which will go out as well, an overarching kind of explanation of where we've come from and the background of the groups. And then to see what people think, you know, and we have to really work with what comes back to us.
You won't know what to do with yourself when you're no longer chair.
I'll get a life, I expect. Yes. I'd still be interested in what's happening. But, you know, we're trying to get one. We need to, I think, have one in place by October. That's the wish of the Prince's Foundation.
Mm. And, Murray, just tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in Reiki and end up where you are now?
I met someone who was a teacher in 98, and I started working through what we might call a certain style of Reiki. And I didn't really feel very much that it was a spiritual path. For me, it was really working for other people. And I worked through the system and became a Reiki master, whatever that might mean, a Reiki teacher. And the system he had was that you had sort of Reiki 1 and 2, and then if you wished to, you became a practitioner, a master practitioner level. And then if you had some kind of background in education, or you just agreed to do some course, then you and providing he agreed to work with you, you became a Reiki teacher. And I became a practitioner and teacher in Hertfordshire. And I began working with that. And then we began to hear stories about how what we'd been told about Reiki perhaps wasn't quite the end of the story. And that individual teachers had been going to Japan. And I met somebody and did a new course with him, which was very interesting, working in a very intuitive way. And then I met my teacher now, Chris Marsh, and began working with him in a completely different way. And it sort of changed my whole view of what what we call Reiki was, which was the idea of a spiritual development with the added bonus that one could use it in a physical way for oneself or for others, but always with the emphasis of being a spiritual journey for somebody. And that really was the wake-up call to me. And that's really what I try and work with now as a practitioner and teacher.
And how did you actually first get involved then with the regulatory side of Reiki?
I was a member of one of the member organisations at that time, and I was vice chair of that, and also PR. So I'd been to some of the meetings already with him, and it was interesting for the Prince's Foundation for Integrated Health, as it was then. And it was interesting that even then groups were beginning to say that it would be very good if we could all work together rather than individual. Because originally the House of Lords had suggested single regulatory bodies, and that was what everyone was starting to work on. And then we sort of had someone came from the Prince of Wales Foundation to one of our meetings, and they said it would start to be useful perhaps if we could approach the other groups, and we'd begun to think of that as well ourselves. So we started off emailing and sort of sending letters out to the main larger organizations that had large numbers of Reiki practitioners and teachers. And I sort of started off organizing the meetings that way. And then we were working through, and then they decided at that point they didn't want a lay chair because they were working very well together. And they asked me to become chair, which I did. It was really the work I was doing anyway, which is a change of label, not anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So my aim was really to kind of provide them with all the information that came to me from everywhere, from the Prince's Foundation or from other areas, to make sure that everyone had the information in the most up-to-date way.
You know, I think this sort of information is really valuable to people wherever they might be, because I think everybody is discussing exactly what you're talking about, this whole thing about coming together. It's not just in the UK or in Australia or, you know, I think that it's in many, many countries around the world. And it is wonderful if we can see what other countries have done. And it doesn't mean that everyone has to do the same thing, but that they can actually see that it can be done. And I know that there has been in the past a fear in the Reiki community of regulation. And it seems to me that you have been very successful in the UK with how you've gone about it so far.
Well, I hope so. I think also when I've been sort of sitting there as chair of the meetings, it's important that I've always felt that I wasn't representing the individual organisations. I was there sort of representing Reiki and the general public. And that, I think, is the important focus that we need so that people don't become afraid. I mean, most practitioners and teachers are probably doing it anyway. It's only really putting it into words. It's not, you know, it's not formalising it. It's not kind of anything that's new. I mean, even things like continued professional development, you think, oh, gosh, no. But in fact, if you look at what you're actually doing, most people would be doing it anyway. So it's
nothing new.
I think it's moved. I feel, personally, that you can't go backwards now. So therefore, the main thing is to ensure the practitioners are the best they can be. And I'm sure, certainly the emails we've had, we've not had kind of negative things coming back. It's people sort of saying, well, what do I need to do? Or what do I need to look for if I'm looking for a practitioner? And all these kind of areas. So it's not that people are kind of saying, well, we don't really want this. And I hope that it's we've tried to be as inclusive as we can. And we put all our minutes, for instance, always up on the website so people can see what we're actually discussing. And we try and keep the idea that nothing is hidden. And also that no one group, no one member group is kind of pushing it, as it were. It's all very equal. And it's been very good to see groups that may have not had very much to do with one another to really begin to kind of bind together as a whole. And I think that's very important.
I think what changed the idea about the system of Reiki that people become a bit more open with each other's ideas.
Hopefully,
I mean, with the groups themselves, not so much, you know, in the organisation, but the groups coming together that they maybe discuss things with each other and say, oh, that's quite interesting, or, oh, we do it a completely different way.
Or we do it in exactly the same way.
Or we do it exactly,
exactly
the same way. Yeah.
There's far more commonality. I think there's far more commonality, actually, with all complementary therapies. It isn't just
absolutely
completely different.
Absolutely.
Because if you listen to people speaking, the aim is often very much the same. Hopefully.
Thank you very much, Murray.
Thanks.
All right.